Hi, welcome to Puffcast, the only Reese's Puff themed podcast. I'm Reese.
I'm First Sergeant Patrick J. McCarthy.
I'm Danny.
And today we're going to be talking about Arabian medicine.
To help us with this complicated topic, we brought in Supreme Serene.
Good afternoon, it's your boy Supreme Serene helping you out with Islamic medicine.
Now a quick moment from our sponsors.
One of our sponsors today of Puffcast is Reese's Puffs, coincidentally. The new Reese's Puffs cereal is out now. Go check it out. And here's a little musical guest to help us out with advertising. Pay the bills. So, Superior Serene, before we get questions going, how are you?
Well, I'm great. You know, I get to be here, like, on my mini vacation, and I get to talk about a topic that is really clouded in mystery, and maybe I can shine some light upon that.
Nice to hear.
How's your life going, though?
I'm okay. I'm excited to have an expert here about Arabian medicine.
Yeah.
And so, speak of it. Why is Arabian medicine so important in the first place?
Boy, you call me up here and you don't know anything about the topic. You don't even know why it's important?
Yeah, it's kind of how this show works, actually.
Oh, okay. Then it's important because we use many of the practices that they did back then, and some of those practices help. Therefore, we can treat diseases as they would back then.
So where did Muslim medicine practices originate from?
Sorry, could you say that again? I was too focused on my Rubik's Cube, because
I'm
that smart.
Where did Muslim medicine practices originate from?
Well, the practice was originated in the Arabian Peninsula, but it also required cultural diffusion to spread into multiple caliphates, including the Umayyad Caliphate of Cordoba, the Abbasid Caliphate, the Ayyubid Dynasty, and the Mamluk Caliphate.
Interesting. So do you know when these practices begin?
Yeah, I'm an expert, so I would know. But through the growth of Islam in the 7th century, the golden age of the civilization arose and eventually made way for Islamic medicine as early as around the 8th century, when the medical texts in the House of Wisdom were translated.
What were some of the most significant advances in Islamic medicine?
Well, Islamic medicine covers a long period of time, and there are two books, in fact, called The Canon of Medicine and The Al-Tasawwuf, made by two very experienced surgeons that I hope we will delve into later. Furthermore, there was and these people were the foundation of modern surgery, and demonstrated the application of quantification and mathematics to medicine.
Was there a concern for public health?
Well, of course, because, well, without the public, how could there be an empire, right? There was a concern. It was more in depth than the Golden Age, but that might have been because of the Black Death.
And so, what was the Black Death? I know that it was a pretty significant disease and health concern at the time, but what were some other diseases, and what really was the Black Death?
Well, the Black Death originated in Europe and Asia from around the 13th century to mid-13th century, and it started after 12 ships docked in from the Black Sea, giving it the name the Black Death. Most sailors aboard the ship were dead, and those still alive were ill and covered in black boils that showed blood, which is, in my opinion, really disgusting. But if we think about like the total deaths that have occurred to Black Death, it would round to like around 70 to 200 million people. But I know that's a large range, but that's only because they didn't keep. I mean, there wasn't like a national census. And then the Silicon authorities hastily ordered the fleet of death ships out of the harbor, but by the time it spread, it was too late. And theorists have thought that it was caused by rats.
What were some other big diseases at the time, other than the Black Death?
Well, there was measles, smallpox, and also mental diseases. Mental diseases were hard to cure because there was really no cure for it back in the day. However, there were faith and spiritual healers that aided in that, but I don't think that was too effective.
What was the most common medical practice, you say?
Well, the most common medical practice was quite horrendous, as it was bloodletting. It is when you cut open mainly the arm or the leg to have blood spill out to get some germs and viruses, out. But this usually resulted in death, which is not a really good cure if you think about it, because yeah, it's death.
That doesn't sound all that advanced or all that forward thinking. Who were some of the big forward thinkers and big people who push advancement in the medical fields?
I'm sorry, could you say that again? Because like I'm too concentrated on this Rubik's Cube, you know?
That sounds very non-advancing in terms of what they did. Who were some people who actually advanced medicine and pushed it forward?
Well, there were many people, you know? There was Albicus, Cassis, Al-Tresif, Al-Kindi, Al-Bu, Al-Qasim, Ibn Sina, Al-Razi, and you know, these are names that I can't properly pronounce because I don't have the native tongue.
Who was Al-Qasis?
You're pronouncing it wrong. It's Al-Qasis. You have to put more emphasis on the sis.
Who was Albica, sis?
Well, finally, you said it right. But he was considered the father of surgery and considered the greatest surgeon of the Middle Ages. He lived in Al-Andalus. But apart from being a surgeon, he was a chemist and a physician. He was brought up as an Arabian Muslim.
And so, back to the point of all the different people. Who are some of the other people?
So, who was Al-Kindi?
It's Al-Kindi. Kindi. Not Al-Kindi. He wrote the De Gradibus that demonstrated the application of quantification and mathematics to medicine. And such a math scale to quantify the strength of drugs and the determination, the determination the most critical days of a patient's illness.
Okay, another person. Who is Al-Tirsif? I've heard of him.
Well, Al-Tirsif is not a person. It is rather a book of medicinal practices, and was over 30 books. This was in a series. And it was intended for the education of student and practicing physicians.
So it was a series of books meant to teach people, like Albicus.
Well, he didn't need those books since he was like the father of surgery. In fact, he made them.
All right. So who was
Al-Razi?
Oh wait, I couldn't hear. I couldn't hear the question because like.
Who's Al-Razi?
Oh, okay, Al-Razi. He made an unfinished book of most medicinal knowledge in one place. As you can see, a lot of people wrote many books which helped other people in this time period. So, furthermore, he also discovered numerous diseases, including measles, allergic asthma, and smallpox. By the way, smallpox killed a large percentage of the population at this time. He produced over 200 books about medicine and philosophy, including the diseases of children, which, in my opinion, is kind of useless because about every disease that adults get, children can get. And he lived from 865 to 925 AD and was a children's doctor and a pharmacist.
That's very interesting.
He also traveled through Persia, treating medicine and teaching medicine and treating the rich and poor alike. So that means he didn't favor to rich people that because they could give him money.
So another way that a lot of people learned about medicine, other than traveling surgeons like Al-Razi, was the Canon of Medicine. Tell me more about that, because I don't know much.
Well, it was wrote by Ibn Sina, or otherwise known as Avicenna. He was responsible for the recording and discovery of contagious diseases, the introduction of quarantine to spread the limit, introduction to experimental medicine, evidence-based medicine, clinical trials, and I could go on and on, but I doubt you guys could know any of that. Not trying to put you down or anything.
Wow, bold of you to say that. Well, that seems like something rather important. And so, this seems like something that impacted the world a lot, considering, you know, all the diseases that the Canon of Medicine and all these great surgeons taught and talked about. So what were some of the biggest Islamic contributions to the world in the field of medicine?
Well, you know, we learned about the anatomy and from them, and there are experimental medicines that some may work, some may not. However, there was pharmaceutical sciences, physiology of the anatomy, surgery, and they made one of the first dedicated hospitals to the public, and there were medical schools and also psychiatric hospitals that helped the people with mental diseases, which I had said before was a detrimental disease that not many could fix.
Wow, and so those all sound like big names in the medical field. What are some other big things that influence the Islamic medical field?
First, let's talk about that advertisement. That was a terrible advertisement. Is that how you guys pay your bills?
Yeah.
That's just sad.
You lack any creativity and your only hope to make money.
Okay.
Anyways, who are some big names in the medical field?
Well, there was Abu al-Qasim. There are like a lot of people, but
Tell me more about al-Qasim. I'm not an expert on these things. That's why we have you here.
Okay.
So tell me more about
him. Are you sure he's an expert? Because he said it'll come a month later.
Okay. So, do you know any of the answers to these ridiculous questions?
Yeah, I knew the one about the Black Death.
Oh, good for you. That was because it was a prominent disease in that era.
Yeah.
So anyways, back to the question. Could you say that again?
Tell me more about the big influences in the Islamic medical field in that era, as well as tell me more about al-Qasim, because I want to hear more about this.
Well, Abu al-Qasim, also known as Abu Qasis, which you refuse to pronounce correctly, invented numerous surgical instruments that were used to tear one's insides apart. And the examples of the inventions include catgut, ligature, surgical needle, retractor, surgical rod, and it also helped lay the foundations for modern surgery, along with the creation of al-Qasim.
Hmm. Well,
don't you think that's a person?
Al-Qasim? I thought that was a book series from earlier.
It is.
Hmm. And so I know that, from what I know, that was a very big influence. I know that there were many big influences on the Islamic field.
But who influenced the Islamic field the most?
Other than the Greeks and Romans, I don't know many.
Hi, Patty.
Well,
who are the rest?
There were
sorry. With your answer.
Okay. Well, cultural diffusion was probably what many people this wouldn't be possible without cultural diffusion. There were also many names such as Hippocrates, Dioscorides, Soranus, Celsus, and Gales, which I cannot pronounce correctly.
When did pharmacies come to Persia?
Well, Islamic pharmacies were called Saidalas, and they began about the same time as hospitals were implemented, which was around the 700s, as a part of the Islamic healthcare system.
You mentioned all these big books, and you mentioned hospitals and pharmacies. How do they keep track of this? How was medical writing in Islam?
Well, it was like a genre at that time period. So all these, there's so many books on the topic, including the Canon of Medicine by Ibn Sina, and they were mainly written in Arabic, but they have been translated to match modern day languages.
So Ibn Sina, whose name I cannot pronounce correctly, he wrote a lot of books.
Correct.
Other big names like Ibn Zur do any work like that?
Well, I would suppose so. He lived, I think he lived from the 10th century to 11th century. Yes, I'm sure of that. And he went on to become a physician, surgeon, and poet. And that really is odd to me, because why would a surgeon also be a poet?
So he did write, but not medically.
Yeah, he was,
Why wouldn't he?
Well, he was mostly an experimental surgeon, which could make or break the patient's life. And that's not really good to write about. He also improved medical knowledge by acknowledging certain diseases along with their treatments.
Why was it important to establish these hospitals in which these medical writings were necessary to them?
Well, first,
and was it different types of hospitals?
Yeah, in fact, there were multiple different types.
Hey guys, I'm just checking.
So
are you here like a teacher?
So there were many different types of hospitals, such as the mental hospital, which was really important because many people did not know how to cure this diseases, as it is very puzzling to them. And they were made in the late 700s.
Of all of those big countries you said that helped build the Islamic medicine, bringing over their concepts and sharing concepts such as hospitals and pharmacies, who were some of the big cultural diffusions, the traders of the information at the time in the Islamic medicine field?
First of all, they're not countries, they're rather empires that lived in a certain territory. The empires that benefited from this Muslim medicine was the Umad Caliphate of Cordoba.
What's a
caliphate? A caliphate is like an empire. It's like an empire or dynasty. Also, the Abbasid Caliphate, the Ayyubid Dynasty, and the Mamluk Caliphate.
What are some of the symptoms of diseases that help doctors diagnose?
Well, there were several symptoms that help, because as I said, there were many like huge diseases that were prominent. So some symptoms were swelling, which was bolu dust in Islamic, and a high noticeable increased temperature, which indicated fever, and also fatigue.
That sounds like something. Diseases sound like a very specific type of medical issue. Were there other types of medical practitioners?
Well, there were two types, in fact. Physicians served in courts of Muslim rulers, and they were quote unquote professional, meaning that they were trusted and they could, in fact, cure the disease. However, there were sheikhs, who were Muslim holy men. They performed physical and spiritual healing, and they were more of faith healers and relied on gods and religion to help heal the disease.
So, how did society impact Islamic medicine?
So, modern society?
Yeah, just how does society back then impacted the Islamic field of medicine?
Well, Medicare is, in addition, always multifaceted, and the needs of society were served by many local practices with the inclusion of formally learned medicine.
And so, what do we today have in common with that old Arabian medicine? I mean, I've heard that a lot of the treatments they used and a lot of the practices they used back then are still held today. Is that true?
Well, yeah, basically. And by the way, that was really smart of you to catch on about that.
And so, asking some of the bigger questions, how did the Islamic people impact medicine?
So, it modernized the care of medicine with the first specialized hospital and pharmacists. They also made important contributions to the field of medicine, and these hospitals help treat people and with mental diseases as well. And these mental diseases were very puzzling to people as it dealt with the brain, which many surgeons did not operate on.
And so how did these surgeries, all these medical studies, change Arabia?
Well, it made it respected by different people involved in the medical arts. Well, people wrote books that helped identify diseases. However, this helped like the physicians and doctors to become more well known in the society and therefore trusted. They already learned so much because of their little society that they gave information to. They also used animals in their medicine to help people, and they also spread their medical knowledge with the known world.
And so that's how it changed Arabia at the time. And
but
why do we care about this now?
Why do we even care about this thing? It's all in the past.
Well, the reason why we care about so much. Well, history in general is about learning from the past, and the reason why we care so much about this is how advanced these people were to curing and helping those in that time period. And it also shows how resourceful and smart they were by using their surroundings, which was a negative, into a positive in the medical field.
Wow, that's some big questions that
Thank
we just
you
answered
for
there.
Coming
about.
Here today to answer questions.
Yeah,
well,
it was a big help. I really
can't say it was a delightful experience because of those pesky advertisements.
Well,
now
you know,
out.
We gotta pay the bills somehow, and I think that's the end of our show here. And so, gonna hit us off with the outro music on the melodica. The
Wait,
end.
What was that instrument?
The melodica.
Whoa.
Not Arabian, not ancient. Just something I happen to have with me in the studio.
Now, this
okay,
is
thank you for joining this podcast. I'm sorry for interrupting you, but I'm the guest, and I can do what I want to do because this podcast is pretty good.
Huh, thank you. And we'll see
you
on the next episode of Puffcast where we get rid of Serene.
I'm Patrick J. McCarthy.
I'm Reese.
And I'm the guest star, Supreme Serene.
Signing off.